Hi, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of the Football Podcast with Waseem Parkar. I'm so excited about today's episode because we just had a fantastic program of midweek football. Now, usually we associate exciting, excellent midweek football with the Champions League, but this week we had a domestic program both in cups and leagues. And for the sake of this podcast, I'm only going to focus on La Liga because this round of La Liga action just exceeded expectations on so many levels. There were so many important games, crucial results with impacts all over the table, but I am going to focus on the top three who are in the middle of a riveting title race, partly down to the fact that Real Madrid are just so entertaining right now. Now, whether you like Real or hate Real, and I completely understand there's never any middle ground with the Merengues, the fact of the matter is they are playing in some must-watch football matches. There's some glorious attacking, some bad defending, but there's entertainment all around. If you go back to Real Madrid this past month, their matches have just been memorable and unmissable. But before I get to Real, I'll set the stage. So going into the midweek round of games, we had Real Madrid on top of the league with 55 points, Barcelona second with 54, and Sevilla on third with 52. The one caveat being that Real had a game in hand. So the first team to take the pitch in this midweek round was Barcelona, and they were playing 19th place Sporting Gijón. And as is the case often when Barcelona play a relegation-threatened team at home, they did a demolition job, won 6-1. Great goals. Messi scored a header to start the scoring, but the real beauty of that goal was Mascherano's amazing cross-field pass. Luis Suarez scored a sumptuous volley, and Neymar scored a sensational free kick. So all-round happiness, back-slapping. And then, in the post-match conference, manager Luis Enrique announces that he is resigning at the end of the season. So a bit of a bombshell, but not necessarily the biggest surprise. You know, you have to remember, this is a guy, after his first season, when Barcelona won the treble, he took a few weeks to commit to extending his contract. So that tells you the kind of person he is. He's never comfortable. And, you know, managing a club like Barcelona, you need to have a certain fortitude, certain connection, because there's just so much pressure. And the truth of the matter is, whether this may sound extremely harsh, Enrique has never had that bond with the fans that Pep Guardiola had, and he's never had that bond with the directors, and definitely he's not the biggest fan of the press. Now, Pep Guardiola, who was so enamored and loved by everyone in Barcelona, could only sustain 4 years, so it's no surprise that the rather more reserved Enrique is leaving after three. How will we judge his tenure? We'll have to wait till the end of the season, but you can't deny him his success. All the questions will remain about the fact whether Enrique has actually stayed true to Barcelona's style. I think he's eschewed midfield control in the hopes of making the primary setup based around the attacking instincts of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. Now, I don't fault him. That was his vision. And in the implementation of his vision, Barcelona have found a lot of success. But it's certainly up for debate if he progressed over Pep Guardiola's legacy or if he has started a system where it's going to be extremely hard even for the next manager to return Barcelona to their true roots of sort of midfield passing and midfield control. But a lot of that's conjecture, and I'll certainly visit this topic and assess Enrique and his whole tenure at the end of the season. So Barcelona wins 6-1, and right after that match, Real Madrid kick off at home to Las Palmas. And you think that this is a fairly straightforward game for Real Madrid, although Las Palmas, of course, over the past year and a half have been playing some excellent football in Spain. The neutrals love them. They're so much fun to watch. But they came into this game losing 4 games on the bounce. So Real were clear favorites in this match. And when Isco scored off a beautiful pass by Mateo Kovacic in the 8th minute, you thought the goals would rain in at the Bernabeu. But just a minute later, Las Palmas equalized themselves, playing a beautiful move, and Tana hitting a beautiful finish past Keylor Navas. That being said, 18 minutes left, Santiago Bernabeu, Real Madrid's attack. You'd have to think that Real would have enough time to score many goals and get the win. But Las Palmas held firm in the first half. Alvaro Morata, rather peculiarly, finished three times but was just marginally offside, and correctly so, on three different occasions. I can't remember a striker finding the net and being ruled out for offside three different times in one game, let alone one half. The second half started, and then Gareth Bale goes and does something absolutely ridiculous. He tackles Jonathan Vieira unnecessarily, gets a yellow card, and then goes and shoves him to the ground immediately after to get a second. So Gareth Bale sent off, and now the Spanish league is reporting that he'll be suspended for two games, not one. So that's quite a crucial blow for Real. So down to 10 men with a man advantage, Las Palmas exposed Real's defense, which is, to be fair, Real's defense is wobbly even with all men on the pitch. So here they're man down. Las Palmas score two goals, one a penalty and one a nice finish by Kevin Prince-Boateng. They even had chances to make it 4-1. Hesse, going back to his former club, had a two shots saved excellently by Keylor Navas. But Real Madrid are the kind of team, probably one of the rare teams, that even when they're down to 10 men, they can afford to attack due to the fact that their fullbacks play in such advanced positions. And Marcelo in particular is just an excellent crosser of the ball, in addition to being very good at dribbling. So when you have that kind of attacking arsenal coming from the back, even when you're a man down, you can create a lot of chances. And of course, with the predators that they had in the box, it was no surprise that they did have a lot of chances. And they probably could have scored a few, but they were denied. Ronaldo missed a few chances. Benzema missed a few. Ronaldo even had some shots heroically blocked by Las Palmas' defenses. But they just went on and on. They got a penalty, a correct one. They scored from that. And then James Rodriguez, who came on as a late substitute, whipped in a beautiful ball for Ronaldo to head home the equalizer. So it was 3-3 at the 90-minute mark, and he thought with 4 minutes of stoppage time, Real might even, in Real Madrid fashion, get a late winner. But they had to settle for the point. So now Real Madrid are a point behind Barcelona, and Zidane definitely has some work to do. There's certainly a resiliency in this team that has to be appreciated, but that would be papering over the cracks that are starting to appear, especially in defense, right? Because their last three games now, Real Madrid, they lost away to Valencia 2-1. Then they came back late in the game to beat Villarreal 3-2 at El Madrigal after they were 2-0 down, and now they conceded three goals at home to Las Palmas. So there is a sense that Real are wobbling, although that resilience is still there, which makes them very unpredictable. Now, things are still in their own hand because they have that game in hand, but it's not going to be easy for them. So the third team in this title race, so who people are sort of overlooking and are so surprised that they're still hanging on to the coattails of Real and Barca, are Sevilla. So Sevilla go into the game with the knowledge that if they win, they'll just be a point behind Real Madrid and just 2 points behind Barcelona. So for a Thursday night league game, the importance of their match at home to Athletic Bilbao was increased tenfold, and they ended up winning 1-0. They started hot out of the blocks, as Jorge Sampaoli's teams always tend to do, and in the first 20-25 minutes they could have finished the game 3-0, but they only had one goal, a 7-yard penalty being saved, and then Vicente Ibora, the captain, hitting the rebound into the goal. And truth be told, in the second half Sevilla became extremely nervous. Now normally Sevilla versus Athletic Bilbao is considered a big game in Spain anyways, because these two are rivals in some ways, not necessarily hostile rivals, but they often compete for the same things, cup prizes. In fact, last season, the Europa League quarterfinal was an absolute classic. But this time, without Aduriz, it was hard for Athletic Bilbao to have that edge in the box, because in midfield, they absolutely dominated the second half. And if Aduriz was fit, maybe they could have got the equalizer. But as it turns out, Sevilla hung on, and somehow they're right up there with Real and Barca. So at the end of the midweek fixtures. It's Barcelona now who are on top of the table for the first time in a while with 57 points, Real 56, and Sevilla 55. So that's how close it is. Real still have that game in hand though. So a couple of people have been asking me, a few friends, and I've seen this discussed, you know, are Sevilla legitimate title challengers? As things stand, of course, it'd be churlish to say that they're not. But we also have to look at what the remaining fixtures are and the strengths of the team, the squad depth. I still think Sevilla are rank outsiders because they just don't have that squad depth. They don't also score the glut of goals that Real and Barcelona are capable of scoring against any opponent, right? Sevilla, you get the sense, need a lot of chances to finish. And, you know, if they still had a striker like a Carlos Bacca, then maybe I'd give them more of a shot. And you'd also have to look at their fixtures. So there are 13 rounds remaining in La Liga. And Sevilla have 7 games at home, which is a good thing. And none of them strike me as particularly tough games. But they have 6 away games. And if you listen to these names here, I'll list out their 6 remaining away games. Alaves, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia, Malaga, and then finally, their last away game is at Real Madrid. That is an extremely tough fixture race, heading in to the end of the season. So it would be great to see how Sevilla perform. I think we'll get an answer if Sevilla are genuine title contenders at the end of the next 3 away games that they play, Alaves, Atletico Madrid, and Barcelona. That'll define their position and tell us the truths about how long Sevilla can last and if indeed they could even pull off a surprise league win in the style of Atletico Madrid in 2014. Real Madrid are wobbling right now, and their fixtures away from home. Now, their next fixture is away at Eibar, and a visit to Basque country is never easy for Real Madrid. And you also have to factor in that Bale is suspended. And I'm also reading reports now that Cristiano Ronaldo might not be fit for this away game at Eibar. And Eibar, right now, after Barcelona, are the most informed team in La Liga. They're second in the form table. They are another team from the Basque region that's just overachieving. In my opinion, all of the Basque teams are overachieving teams. So the next away game is at Eibar. Then they have a few easy home games. And then another away trip to Athletic Bilbao. Now, after that away trip to Athletic Bilbao, which is, of course, a tough test, they don't really have any difficult away games. Unless some of the away games in April are against the likes of Deportivo, Granada, and Sporting, and maybe if those 3 teams are still fighting for their lives in the relegation zone, those matches might be tough. But in all honesty, the away games don't hold a lot of fears. But at home, remarkably, at home, Real Madrid finish off with these 4 games. Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia, Sevilla. That's just unbelievable. Those are the 4 last home games for Real Madrid in La Liga. So they have quite a tough fixture list as well, which all points me at this moment to lean towards Barcelona. A, Barcelona have that experience. You know, last season around the same time, Barcelona were coming into mid-March on the back of a rut. They lost their last 3 away games. They had a 10-point lead over Real Madrid that was whittled down to 1. And then all of a sudden, they switched on. I remember Luis Suarez scored 5 goals in a match against Deportivo La Coruña at the Riazor, and they won 8-0. And that just set up their momentum. They kept scoring. They were just ruthless. They have that history of winning behind them. And their fixture list is pretty kind. Yes, they have to still go and visit Real at the Bernabeu for the Clásico. But outside of that, and their home game against Sevilla, I would consider, if Barcelona are motivated, and I think they will be, and perhaps even Luis Enrique leaving provides them with greater clarity and with a sense of a mission. So I think all of a sudden, out of the blue, again, now with 13 rounds of La Liga to go, Barcelona are the favorites. But folks, I just have to say, it's a title race that we all should keep an eye on. Catch as many matches as you can, because Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Sevilla are going to thrill us right to the very end. So for this episode of the Football Podcast with Wasim Parkar, I thank you all for listening, and I'll be talking about some of the other leagues in the next few episodes of this podcast. I think this is the the theme and this is the style of the podcast that I'm going to record because obviously I'm speaking alone. It doesn't make sense for me to go on for an hour. So what we're going to see with the football podcast with Waseem Parkar, and after all, guys, this is a journey. This podcast is not going to be perfect. I'm going to do macro episodes rather than combining many leagues together in one episode. Each episode will focus on one league, so you'll see short episodes, and over time, in a few months, I hope we have a streamlined system of delivery and recording once I'm into my groove. But right now, I'm still learning, so I thank you all for listening and being a part of this journey. So once again, thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Football Podcast with Waseem Parkar.